Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing you this segment for 8 years, and it's as much fun, trust me, today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, the Texas Trophy Hunters Association, the Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kubi Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, and Larry's TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon. Well, good morning, Mr. Wysoon. You look like you might be ready to talk some hunting with us today.
Well, I am, Mr. Clayton.
I know you are.
Thank you for noticing.
I don't guess I'd actually be a mind reader to know that you might be ready to talk a little hunting. Well, Larry, a lot of folks will enjoy visiting with you this during this segment each week. And I look at it, and I think our listeners do too, as a visit, you know.
It is.
Yeah. I wish they could be around the campfire in person with us, but well, who knows? We may get an event going here in the fall or something where we can open it up to our listeners and maybe get them actually around a sure enough campfire with us, Larry. We need to give some thought to that. You know,
I think we'll just go ahead and plan on it and do it. I know there's some events coming up in Northeast Texas that you're involved in and that I can be involved in as well too, and so I think that might be a great idea. I think it's on top of everything else. Even if nobody else came, I know you and I have fun.
We're old hands at this campfire. That's a thought, and I'll mention this, Larry. It's a good time. The Lake Fork Sporting Challenge.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to be able to get a loose, but maybe you can. But let our listeners know, folks, it's up at Lake Fork. And last year, the Lake Fork Sporting Challenge drew $100,000 they presented to the Folds of Honor, which is a organization that serves
great
the,
group.
You know, it is, Larry, and they serve the widows and the children of severely injured or killed servicemen and women. So anyway, that's the Lake Fork Sporting Challenge. Go to our radio website, catfishradio.org, O-R-G. A lot of you still are probably not aware, but we did change it to org, catfishradio.org. Larry, that was changed about almost 2 months ago now. But
yes, sir.
They can go there, and the Lake Fork Sporting Challenge is linked right in there.
Yes, sir.
I thought it'd be fun, Larry. Close calls in the outdoors. Of course, you've spent, through what you do, hunting dangerous game a lot. You've had probably innumerable close calls in the outdoors with game animals, big game. I've had guiding hunts up in for bear and elk up in Colorado. I've had a couple of times when I wondered what the outcome was going to be. But you could literally write a book, I believe, on things that's happened to you in regards to game. I remember a grizzly. You was telling me about a few years ago, I believe it was in Alaska, right, that got
absolutely
pretty close,
yes,
call? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, usually when somebody asks, what's your closest call, I said, you know, the most dangerous thing I do is to leave my house in the morning to go to the airport kind of thing.
Right.
I can make it to the airport, the rest of it seems downhill. But you're right. I mean, I was hunting grizzly a few years ago, and oh, my gosh. Blake Barnett, who's my co-host now for DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, Blake was my cameraman, and we were up in Alaska hunting grizzlies, and right on the edge of the grizzly or brown bear line that they have established. And it was a tough hunt. I mean, there were a lot of old bear tracks, and there was one little creek bottom that we wanted to get into and just could not do it because the wind was always at our back going into it. Well, it gets to be the ninth afternoon. It's probably about 40 minutes before sundown, and all of a sudden we're sitting there, and the guide, Blake, and I, all three look at each other, and the wind has finally changed. We took off in a run to this little creek and kind of gotten into it maybe only about 40, 50 steps at the very most, and I saw a really nice grizzly bear and got the footage that we need, and I shot the bear with a .375 Ruger and using that 300 grain Hornady DGX, a dangerous game load, put this bear down immediately. I mean, he just went down, and we did all of our stuff that we needed to do, and got to the bear and got photographs. And about that time, it was starting to get dark, and the guide goes, said, "Oh my gosh, I forgot my flashlight." And I said, "I promise. Once you go back to camp, it's only about a mile away." And I said, "I'll have the bear skin by the time you get back." And so I'm skinning the bear and just into it, and Blake's standing there beside me. We got the gun laying right next to us, and we're talking a little bit. Look up, here comes this bear, and it's one of these bear that kind of swaddled back and forth coming toward us. And I thought, oh my God, the wind vintage switch was blowing our scent and the scent of that grizzly's blood right toward this other bear. And the bear was out there probably about 60 yards, and I could just barely see it every once in a while, and then here it came again. And so I told Blake, I said, "Blake, you might want to get that rifle." And he said, "Do you want me to shoot the bear?" And I said, "No, man, there's no way we can shoot this bear." I said, "Oh, I've only got one license. You don't have a license." I said, "But get the rifle just in case, you know, and the bear keeps coming." And I'm thinking, man, sooner or later, this bear is going to stop or turn the other way. And Blake says, "What do you want me to do?" And I said, "Well," I said, "you can't shoot the bear unless it bites me." I said, "If it bites me, he can shoot it. But until then," I said, "if it comes, and it comes at a run," I said, "shoot in front of it, try to blow gravel in its face, and hopefully the bear will stop." So I keep working, and the bear keeps coming closer. Finally, the bear is about 20, 25 yards away, and I look at Blake, and I said, "Blake, don't shoot the bear. Shoot in front of him if it comes." And so I thought, well, maybe if I just stand up and holler at the bear will turn around and run, you know. And so I've had him do that before, where you did that and they stopped and turned around and walked away.
Right.
When I stood up and hollered at that bear, this bear comes at an absolutely dead charge. And at about 12, 15 feet, that's how fast they can move. Blake shoots and hits right in front of this bear's feet, blows gravel and shards of gravel into him and all this kind of stuff. And the bear stopped and it kind of just stood there and looked at us, and then he turned his head back behind us, looked back behind us, but switched his head back around and popped his teeth, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is not going to end good. All I've got to protect myself is a knife with about a 3-inch blade at the bare bones, probably about a 2-inch blade, which I tend to carry when we do those kind of hunts. And it just seemed like forever the bear stood there, and he'd look away and look back at us, and finally, the bear turned around and walked away, and I looked up at Blake, and his eyes were about four times bigger than they normally would be, and I noticed that he's pointing at the rifle, and he had used the last shot that we had in my rifle to try to scare this bear. If the bear had come on, I don't know what we'd have done, kind of thing. So, you know, it's one of those kind of scary moments, and you go, thank you, Lord, for taking care of the hunters, and in this instance, a foolish hunter for not reloading right away.
Oh, man. You know, Larry, anyone that's spent a lot of time, years out hunting, in the outdoors, I would say, but especially hunting, we've all got our stories. It may not be a grizzly bear, or, you know, I mean, it's, and sometimes it's not even the animal. You have to be, if you spend a lot of time outdoors, I think it becomes second nature. It does to me, to be safe. And, you know, I spend a good bit of time after dark hunting hogs. Every couple of weeks I usually go a couple of times, once or twice, you know, usually when I need some more fresh pork. But when you're out in the woods at night in the dark, I mean, it seems everything that you do needs to be pre-thought, you know?
It really does.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I do. You know, years ago, Wayne Fears and J. Wayne Fears and I started calling wild hogs the poor man's grizzly, because they're so tough, they're so tenacious, they're potentially dangerous. I know you've been charged. I've crawled in some thickets. Some white brush thickets in South Texas following hounds or dogs in there, and all of a sudden look up, and here comes this boar, and there's no way to get out of his way, and there's no way to do anything. You know, hopefully in each instance I had my 44 Ruger mag with me, my Ruger 44 mag with me, and I was able to stop the boar, at least turn it, you know, before it got to me. But, you know, there's several, you can so easily get yourself in those kind of situations, and sometimes too it can be just not anything to do with animals, just with the terrain and the habitat. I got caught time or two in Alaska where I really thought I was going to have to dig myself a snow cave and spend the night before I get out of there because I was just totally exhausted from trying to get back to where somebody could pick us up in a boat, and then the snow was darn deep. And, you know, it was 8-10 feet deep of snow, sometimes it's just the countries that you put yourself in, too, that can be dangerous. I mean, I know you've sat on water holes there in Colorado with elk hunters and had bears and lions come in on you.
I have, Larry, yeah. A mountain lion once, you know, I've told this story a bunch of times. It was about 3 or 4 years ago, came in, had a hunter that was on a elk, actually just a water hole, you know, where the elk would wallow.
Right.
And he come up to me. I couldn't see the hunter that was with me. I was calling. I was down to probably 80 yards from him and had a black bear come by. And me, I saw the bear. And this young man come up to me. He said, "Luke, I just looked death in the face. I will never forget what he told me." and I thought, "Oh, what's you see that bear?" Because he was not an experienced mountain hunter. You know, he wasn't. I thought he might have seen the bear. You know, he said, "I just had a mountain lion at like 6 feet stalk up on the ground." He was hunting on the ground with a bow over this water hole, you know. And sure enough, he took me back, and I said, "You sat right where you were at, and I want to take a picture of you just in the position." I saw the cat tracks. You know, you've heard this story, but that evening, where did I take him? I took him right back to that same water hole because he wanted a bear or an elk. And come to find out what had happened, we didn't see any elk at that particular area. This cat, after I started looking more, the cat was probably living close by because the elk would come down this little, on a dam side. It always come into water at the same spot, and that's where that cat, that evening, he showed back up, you know. And, well, you know the story. We left that place with that cat standing there guarding that spot, and I don't know if the cat would have ever attacked or not, but he would not leave. And he put the fear in both of us. We backed out of there, you know.
And rightfully so. I mean, that's one of those situations that, you know, that's, there are times you're so much better off you just plain retreat, get out of there.
Yeah, and hope he doesn't charge, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know who the ultimate predator, even and some of the stuff you've hunted, you know, lion and big cats, and you know, gosh, I can't imagine, because a mountain lion that weigh 125 pounds, when you see one up close, I mean, there's something instinctive in your brain that says this rascal's big enough to get me, you know.
and they are. Over the years, when we've been tracking buffalo and those kind of things in Africa, a lot of times when you have a fair number of lion in that area, those buffalo are just on edge all the time, and even there, we have accidentally walked up on a lion, and it absolutely make your hair stand up, and your first thought is to run, kind of get the heck out of here, but
you got to
back out of there slowly, right. And hopefully that, you know, you don't have to do anything but back out slowly.
Well, Larry, they're telling me we're out of time, but we do have time to mention your TV show, the Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, on the Pursuit Channel. One of the prime times is Thursday evening, of course, but other times too. And I know most of our listeners probably watch your TV show, but I always like to remind them, Larry.
I appreciate it, and we are into brand new shows for the third season, for the third quarter now. So a lot more North American things, a lot of white-tailed deer hunting coming up, and really appreciate those folks who watch your shows.
And, Larry, I appreciate you being with us, and we'll get back this time next week, and we'll be right here with everyone for another segment of Campfire Talk.
Yes, sir.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single-action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably killed 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sitemark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com.